Ask you to turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 32 for a moment. Yeah, Kevin read it to us, and I just want us to think a moment here on a few thoughts, and then I'll open it up for some of you to share some thoughts from the Word. Oh, junior church, you really want to send the kids to junior church? Okay, apparently some of you kids want to go to junior church, ages 3 and 4. You need to follow Mary and Tina. Yeah. Junior church. Okay, adults, you can't go. Good. Okay. Have you actually taken a moment here this morning? You probably have in the past. Maybe you've read this psalm quite a few times. But the first word is blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed is the one, be it a young boy, a young girl, a man or a woman. Blessed is the one whose transgressions, whose sins, whose failures before people and before God. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, if you've never done anything wrong, you probably don't think that you have any sins. Well, you just come and see me a little later, I'll provoke you enough that I'm sure I'll get you to sin. All of us are sinners. The kids in this past week, ages 8 to 10, were taught that. Of course, we saw a lot of it, but to be honest, we were extremely patient and loving. It was pretty hard sometimes to get a word in edgewise, but we're grateful that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to work in the hearts of people. So if you know the Lord today, you should pause for a moment and just say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I know I'm forgiven. Now, if you're carrying a particular matter on your heart today, there's some sin between you and the Lord, you can go to Him and confess that. That's what we read in 1 John 1:9. In fact, next to verse 1, that's what you should put there, because that's how we deal with matters of sin in our lives. We confess them. We agree with God. That's what confession means. Homologeo. Yeah, Greek word. Gave you a Greek word this morning. Can you remember that? What do you think? No? Try it? Later, I'll talk to you about it. You're agreeing with God about what He says about your sin. You're saying, Lord, what You say is right. What I did or what I said was wrong. And I agree with Your judgment. Your judgments are true. And it's there that the Lord makes it clear that you can have a clear conscience before Him and before people. First devotion that I had with the camp counselors was to challenge them to determine whether in fact they should, in fact, even be at camp. Are things in their lives right with God? You know, you and I, we come and we get to break bread. And where I came from, we used to break bread every week. And I looked forward to it every week. If you're keeping a catalog of sins and say, I'll confess that later. Don't do it. Deal with everything at the moment. So you can have a clear conscience every day and every moment of your life. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man, the woman, the child, the young person, whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. In other words, you're not trying to deceive yourself or God or others. You're being completely transparent. Happy are you if you're doing that. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful psalm. Some of us may know the background to it. We know that David wrote it. We know that he wrote it in the midst of confessing his failure with Bathsheba. Oh, to have a clear conscience before you, Lord. To have the knowledge of sins forgiven. To be at peace with our Savior, with our King. And so as we break bread this morning, as we share different thoughts from your word, and as we pray, our desire, Lord, is to express our thankfulness, a deep appreciation for your unconditional love towards us, being thankful that we have a clear conscience before you and before one another. So may you be honored, may you be glorified in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Just open it up for those of you who would like to share, just to come forward and do that.
Good morning. We're here to remember the Lord. That's what he said, this do in remembrance of me. I'd like to share a couple of passages from the Bible in Galatians. What I'm thinking about this morning is the phrase, he gave himself. So Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I'd like to turn over to chapter 2 and verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20 says, Paul writing to the Galatian people in Galatia, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in the first passage we read, who gave himself for our sins. And in this passage we read, he gave himself for me. Now, probably all of us have received a gift from someone. And usually when you get a gift, there's a little writing on it, and it'll say to and from. To the person that it's for, and who provided the gift. So if we look at this passage, we'll find this too. When I see the word grace, I always look for the gift, because gift and grace are connected. It says grace and peace. And here it is, to who? To you. From who? From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's a gift. To you, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the gift? Who gave himself. The gift is himself. Who gave himself for our sins. To rescue us from the present evil world. So, who gave himself? Why? For our sins. To do what? To rescue us from the present evil age. And I was thinking, when we get a gift, it's usually wrapped up. And what is the wrappings that we can find in this verse? It says, according to the will of our God and Father. It was the will of God our Father that the way of salvation be provided. It was his will that this gift should be given. And so his will is like the wrapping of the gift. We open it up to see what his will is. And his will was that Jesus come to this earth. And the Son was willing to go. And he came. And he came to this earth, and he walked here and was so misunderstood by men and still is. But when we see that little phrase, gave himself, it sounds so easy, gave himself. But when we look into it and read the accounts of how Jesus lived his life here, how he was misunderstood, how he died on the cross, how he was, he had the power to deliver himself. He said in John, he said to the people, "Don't I have the power to call on 12 legions of angels to deliver me?" But he didn't do it, because his purpose was to give himself for our sins, Jew and Gentile. So then I'd like to look a little bit at the next section we looked at, and that was in 2 and 20. And it says, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we read the first chapter, or chapter 1, it says, speaking there of he gave himself for our sins. But now it becomes more personal. Our sins are the problem. And as we've already been hearing, we all have sin. In Romans 3 and 9, it says they are all under sin, Jews and Gentiles. That was our problem. But he's provided, he's been the sacrifice that God required in order for our sins to be paid for. But here in Galatians 2 and 20, he gave himself for me. And it says, I've got to get to the right spot here. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So that's how it becomes personal, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's hope we'll be able to think of the Lord Jesus, what he did for us. And he died on the cross, but he also rose again the third day. And now he has returned to heaven, the Bible says, and he's coming to take those who belong to him back to himself. So he gave himself for us. It was a huge gift that he has given, the greatest gift that ever could be given, and the greatest love that ever could be shown, when he died for those that hated him. He was mistreated and misunderstood and misjudged by imperfect people, a perfect person being judged by the imperfect humans that we are. And we were all represented there at the cross, because within us is natural inclination against God, but through the work of the Spirit in the hearts of every one of us who have placed faith in him, we've come to know him as Savior, and we're here to remember him this morning.
I'd like to read out of John chapter 6. starting at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the things I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, and do not do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Just wanted to point out a couple of things here. That back in verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Again, at verse 40, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. Basically, there is an abundant supply in God's Word. What He's referring to, that He's giving His flesh and His blood for our life. And if we feed on His Word, we won't go hungry or thirsty. But we need to be in the Word to feed on it. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning. Thank You that You gave Your life. Your body was broken and Your blood was shed for us so that we might have life. Thank You that You are the source of life and that You are willing to give Your life, as was said already. I just praise You for that. I pray that You would be honored by our worship. You are worthy of our praise. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to read from Psalm 103. And praise for the Lord mercies. It's one of the psalms my grandma had pointed out to me at one time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives you all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth may renew like the eagles. The Lord exercises righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses with His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, as far He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before You, and I want to thank You one more time for this day. I thank You for this house. We found a family, and just thank You for Your word You preserved to us, and that we can learn in it about You, and that we can use it as guides for our lives. Father, I just pray for Your blessings upon the rest of the day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been studying recently on the impartiality of God and why it's important. And I just wanted to share with you today Psalm 147. It kind of goes hand in hand with the goodness of God and how He's impartial. It says in verse 1, "Praise the Lord! How good is it to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise Him! The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the earth with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with the clouds, and He supplies the earth with the rain, and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to those to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His words run swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws, praise the Lord. I just wanted to bring your attention to how in verse 10, it says that his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, but the Lord delights in those who fear him and who put their hope in his unfailing love. I just wanted to encourage you with those words. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and your impartiality, Lord. And we just love you and want to praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Starting in verse 26, as they led him away, this is the Lord Jesus, this is the account of the crucifixion. On Thursday night, we showed the Jesus film to the kids, and many of the kids, of course, couldn't read. So they needed a pictorial, they needed a graphic picture of who Jesus is. And so this particular account, the crucifixion, was portrayed before them. It was based, the film, the Jesus film, is based upon the Gospel of Luke. And so this specific account that I'm reading to you was in the film. They seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" That's often the way sin goes, isn't it? Some sin is intentional, but much of the sin that we do is out of a misguided notion that somehow we feel justified in doing the things that we do, and they're wrong. They either have a wrong motivation, the results are wrong, we don't always know. We come to break bread because we want to worship God. We know that we're doing it imperfectly. Sometimes we'll sing songs that make us feel somewhat euphoric. Wow, that's a great song, and we love it. And we could sing it all day long, but meanwhile, in our hearts, in our lives, there are probably still some unresolved issues. Things that we did that we didn't realize were wrong. I want you to realize that if you're seeking to be right with God as best you can, the blood of Jesus covers all those things that you don't even know about. That's mercy. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered, to whom God does not count his sins against him. I asked one of the men here to come and give thanks for the loaf. And thank you, men, for sharing from the Word here this morning. Appreciate that.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again and just grateful for your willingness to send your Son Jesus to pay for the penalty of our sin so that we could be set free. Thank you for your love that we don't have any words to describe. And Lord, as we remember you this morning, as we remember the great cost that it was that you paid to give us freedom, Lord, we ask you to bless the loaf. In Jesus' name, amen.
When he had given thanks, isn't that something? The Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, while he took on human flesh, gave thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
You loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. You shed your blood so that we could have forgiveness of sins, peace with you. Just pray now that you would bless the cup as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, where he spent 3 years, says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's stand together, please. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are proclaiming the necessity of the death of Christ, that his blood needed to be shed so that we would have the knowledge of sins forgiven, which we receive by faith. To receive something by faith is to simply believe the truths found in God's Word, which were meant to bring life. Praise God that we get to break bread together. There's a future day where we won't be doing it again. We'll be with the Lord. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to have us doing, but I'm sure it won't be camp all the time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the things that we've heard from various ones from your word and how impartial you are and that you love each and every one of us. Lord, thank you for the bread that came down from heaven. Thank you that we are in that relationship where our lives are being sustained by your purposes, your will, your promises. And so help us, Lord, as we leave here, Help us, first of all, to greet one another, to recognize people who either haven't been here before or we haven't met yet. Help us, Lord, to be open-hearted and share our lives with one another. Help us also to be hospitable and open our homes. Thank you, Lord. Undertake for each of us as we carry various burdens for people. Help us to realize that we can't do it alone. We need you. And thank you, Lord, that by your word and by your spirit, the relationship that we have with you, that you sustain us, you give us peace, and you answer our prayers. So thank you, Lord, for each one here. And go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you.